Last week, I shared a message called Clarifying the Vision. And if you weren't here last week, and this is your church, I'd like you to get a CD of that if you would. We made a lot of them, and it's also on the web, our website. You've probably seen it up here in the announcements, Chapel Ministries. It's long, chapelministriesoutreach.org. But the messages are on there. But I'd like everybody that attends here to hear the message last week, Clarifying the Vision. You know, we've talked about a lot of different things. First few weeks after moving into this building and getting started, you know, it took a little time to get clarified who we are and kind of figure out what shape we're going to be. And God had given me a number of things in the past in my time off, and we've shared those from time to time. And I know that that can at times be like, wow, where are we exactly going? And I felt last week God just laid on my heart just to clarify that. And I felt that we were able to make that clear, I think, and understandable. We've gotten a lot of feedback from that this week. So if you haven't heard that message, or someone that attends here that has been on vacation, kind of help me with that, who I'd like everybody to hear that message. I am going to not keep you real late today. I know you don't believe that, but it really is true this time. I have a very simple message. I struggled awful this week in preparing. And to be honest with you, that I don't have that a lot. I have that some, but I don't have that a lot. I've learned to wait for a spark of inspiration, something from God, and then usually on Friday and Saturday and maybe even Sunday morning develop that. But I struggled awful this week with the message. And that was my own fault. I want to say that publicly. I allowed myself this last couple of weeks to get my mind cluttered. That's nobody else's fault. That's my own. One thing that God spoke to me very clearly in my year off was that in my new season, operating at a new level and influencing the influencers and aiding others to do things and all, there were things that he wanted me to change on, and I've done that quite a little bit. I did feel the Lord chastise me a little bit this last couple of weeks. I allowed my mind to get cluttered, and still took my prayer walks in the morning, but even on my prayer walks, I got to be honest with you, my mind was going 90 miles an hour, and God has just stamped on my heart Isaiah 30:15. In returning in rest, you will be saved, and quietness and confidence will be your strength. And that in my later years, that's my theme verse. That in returning in rest, return to that place of rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all the weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Return to that place frequently. And just because you go through the motions, and even though I walked 5 miles, there was a couple of days this week in my walk that I got to be honest, at the end of the 5 miles, my mind's going like this. And we didn't be still and know that I am God. And so I felt like God corrected me on that. But when I came to that realization, because I struggled in preparing, and I said, Lord, I'm not going to just get up and give a four-point outline on a parable. I want something from you. When I got that, and I said, Lord, help me to hear what you're saying. When I got the message from him, then I felt God spoke to me on what to share this morning. And it goes, I think, well with the mood that the Lord is in and the Holy Spirit has drawn us into this morning. I want to talk to you about, briefly, about being an ambassador for Christ. I have here on the wall, being a true Christian is not do's and don'ts. Yes, obviously, in honor to God, there's things that we put away and put off and cut off and kill and we're done with. The Bible says mortify the flesh. Mortify, that's where we get the word mortician. You know, there's some things that go because they're not God-honoring and they're self-destructive. It isn't just that they're not God-honoring, they're self-destructive, ultimately. Being a true Christian is not do's and don'ts or just going to church, even though I don't want that to be misunderstood. I think we need to assemble together. The Bible says, fail not to assemble yourselves together all the more as you see the day approaching. As you see the return of Christ coming, which we're nearing that time, as you move into that time period, all the more. So it's very scriptural to be assembling together, and we need to do that more and more to keep encouraged. But being a true Christian is not do's and don'ts, going to church, quitting bad habits. You know, there might be things in your life that it's obvious when you come to the Lord are not a good example and they're not honoring to God and things that need to change. But that's not what being a true Christian is. Those are just sprouts of being a Christian, offspring of being a Christian. It's knowing him and becoming his ambassador. And all week long, even though I struggled with preparing the message, I had the verses on my mind that I'll read in a moment from 2 Corinthians 5, that we are ambassadors. And about 6 months ago probably, I was speaking at Skinner Chapel on Sunday morning at that other location, and I believe I began by talking about ambassadors for Christ. But God has drawn me back to that thought. So being a true Christian, it's knowing him. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that we may know him. Being a true Christian is a relationship. Now, church can help with that. Clearing things out of our life takes out the obstructions and the things that would separate us from God. But being a true Christian is knowing him, and that's why we emphasize constantly in this ministry spending time with God in the way that fits you. It's got to be your own personality. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not everybody does it exactly like I do, or Pam does, or Brian does, or you have to work that out, but you need your time with God because the ultimate goal is to know him. And I guess I'd like to ask here, those of you who have been in church a long time, do you know the Lord better than you did a year ago? Didn't ask if this has been your best year. Didn't ask if you've been through trials. If you've been through trials, it's likely you do know the Lord better, because it's through trials and refining that we know him. But it's the will of God that we know him through Jesus Christ. And then my emphasis today, becoming his ambassador. And I want to talk about that for 20, 25 minutes. In Romans 8:29, it says that God wants to conform us to the likeness of his Son. God wants to conform us to the likeness of his Son. Being a true Christian is knowing him and becoming an ambassador, being formed into look like Jesus. Christian means Christ-like. We're straying from the heart of that. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I have it up here for you. I believe, yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21. Powerful passage of scripture, and this has been on my mind. And we're going to pull the statement out, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Young Christian, new Christian. Creation took 7 days. We're a new creation. It's a process. This morning, I'm going to draw some pretty strong lines in the brief time that I talk, but an ambassador is a worthy calling. It is a high calling. And we'll go into that in a minute. But being a true Christian isn't just letting some things go, some do's and don'ts, starting to go to church. It's knowing him and becoming an ambassador for Christ. If anyone is Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. It's a process. He's changing us, recreating us into something like him. He's conforming us to look like Jesus. We don't look like Jesus much when we start out. But as we grow in him, there becomes a likeness of Jesus. And if that isn't happening, something's wrong. An authentic rebirth where we come to Christ and repent and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. An authentic rebirth results in growth. And the ultimate goal is we begin to look like Jesus in our character. And if that doesn't happen, there was something wrong in the birth. And there's a lot of mutations running around in our Christian world today, waving the banner and saying they're saved. But there isn't much evidence of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. There isn't much of that there. And they've walked with the Lord for 20 years, or at least wore him to church pew. But the truth is, there isn't much evidence there. There will be evidence of Christ-likeness develop if we have a true experience with God. It can't help but happen, because the seed that God places in you at an altar, at a prayer, as that begins to grow, that's the Holy Spirit within you, and it's life-changing, you become a new creation. If there's no change, it's not the real deal. If there's no change, it's not the real deal. And there's a lot of Christianity being peddled out there and being sold out there and being auctioned off out there, and big crowds flocking to it. I can hear David Wilkerson's voice in my mind as I'm speaking. God brought that to my mind. I have him on recording saying it. He said, there is a gospel out there being sold today that's attracting hundreds and thousands to megachurches, and there's some good megachurches. And they're buying tapes and CDs and books, but it's a gospel without a cross and without a change and without a deliverance. It's a feel-good, enjoy-yourself gospel, and it's a false gospel. And it is. And deceit is truth and error mixed. It isn't all deceit, or we would recognize it. It's truth and error mixed. In Christ, we're a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting men's sins against them. And boy, I could go lots of directions. I could really have an ADD message today. Not that most of them aren't, but got to say something about not counting men's sins against him. If you're here this morning and you've accepted Jesus Christ and truly have said, Lord, I want to be a new creation, God does not count your sins against you. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I was a month ago. You don't know what I was a year ago. You don't know what I was 5 years ago. I don't care. I don't mean that to be insensitive. We're not about that. That's not what this is about. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come in to say, look what you did. Now he wants you to repent of it. He wants change. We have people say in our new movement across America, well, as everyone, they come up with this look on their face like they're getting ready to drill you, and they say, is everyone welcome at your church? And we say, yes, everyone is welcome. However, if they open their heart to Christ, we'll expect a change. If you're a drug addict and come to the rescue resort, you don't bring your drugs with you. You leave your sins and say, I'm making a decision. Is anyone welcome? Absolutely. But the sins have to be left and confessed and given to God. And the cool thing is, he's all about reconciliation. He's all about forgetting that stuff. He's all about, he doesn't remember them. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 13, his instruction to us, and boy, I could go off on a tangent here, he says, love keeps no record of wrong. He keeps no record of wrongs, and he calls us to keep no record of wrongs. And if you have someone in your home or in your family or in your community that you know in your heart of hearts, as primitive as they may be in their early start as a Christian, if they've truly confessed their sins, don't you dare throw it up to them. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Now, it's another thing if the wrong hasn't been dealt with. So that's another issue. Verse 19, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting men's sins against them. Isn't that awesome? And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Oh, there's a whole series of sermons in here. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He doesn't count the sins against him. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to straighten this thing out. And he's given us the ministry. We're supposed to be doing that. That's what we're supposed to be about. Anybody you need to reconcile with? Anybody you need to reconcile with? 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But I want you to notice, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. The reason a number of months back that there was all the fuss around the world about the killing of Ambassador, was it Stevens or Stevenson? I can't remember. Help me out. Stevens? Yes, I couldn't remember. Actually, I think when I talked about him before, I said Stevenson. I'm not interested in your view, and you're not interested in mine of all that. I'm sure we each have one, and I know there was personal things there that aren't pleasant and inappropriate and all of that, and we've heard a lot since. Just set all that over there. I want to illustrate to you, because it was someone in the news that rang a bell, I want to get across to you what an ambassador actually is. This is a powerful, powerful verse. What an ambassador actually is. The reason there was such a fuss made that this man wasn't protected is because when you are an ambassador by definition, you are representing the President of the United States in that country. You were supposed to have all the protection that the President of the United States would have. President Obama and his wife and children can't go to a donut shop without Secret Service men all around them, and there's that kind of level of protection. The actual true definition of an ambassador, if you're an ambassador to another country assigned for the United States, you're on a piece of land owned by the United States, there's an American flag there, and that's your headquarters, even though you're in a strange country, that plot of land is owned by the United States, and you are to have the protection that the president would get if you are in danger. And you are a representative of the President of the United States in that country. The reason I need to say that to you is this is so powerful that we are ambassadors for Christ. In this community, as a minister, I am a representative of the gospel. I take that seriously. I don't say, Lord, thank you that you've made me a ministry and a minister to be able to do this all these years. I say, Lord, thank you for trusting me to watch over your flock. Don't let me mess this up. Help me to do a good job. Help me to care for them. I'm a representative. You as a Christian, you're called to be an ambassador. Being a Christian isn't do's and don'ts. It isn't all the things we said there at first and elaborated on. It's knowing Him and being an ambassador for Him. And I think the American church needs called out of their lukewarmness as a whole. And I believe there's a lot of strong Christians here, so don't take offense at that. But the American church as a whole, this is the Laodicean church age, I believe. And they need to be called out of their lukewarmness and reminded that we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. Please don't be offended. But as I look around the congregation, and I believe many of you take this very seriously, so don't, I'm not directing this at you, but some of you are ambassadors at Chrysler. Jesus went back to the Father, sent the Holy Spirit to give us the power and grace that we needed, and then He called us to be ambassadors and be His representative. And He buys us with His blood, and that little parcel of land we're on is ours, and it's redeemed, and there's a flag that's His banner over us is love. You with me? And you're an ambassador. But sometimes, like it says in Hebrews 11, you'll feel like a stranger and pilgrim. You remember in Hebrews 11, it says we're strangers and pilgrims. We sang the song, I've never been this homesick before. Because there's times you don't feel at home, Colleen, at the hospital. There's times you don't feel at home there. But you're an ambassador there. Brian, you're an ambassador for Xerox. And it moves me, and I've seen it. I've gone places where I've mentioned, yeah, Brian Jayberg's in a worship band. We've played together in music for years, but more important than that, we're prayer partners. And they'll say, oh, he's the finest guy. We like him. We enjoy it when he comes and fixes our copier. My mom used to say, Brian is such a prince. She did. I would say something about Brian. She'd say, oh, isn't he a prince? She would say, she loved you dearly, and I thank you being my prayer partner and all that, and there was just a special love for you. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're hung up on religious stuff, and we're forgetting in America the theme of this. It's about knowing Jesus, and I'm an ambassador. And to approach your day that way. I had a wonderful conversation a couple hours with John Gunter the other night. John, I appreciate you and your family so very much. And John gets it. He gets it. He's recently taken a huge step and gone on his own in business and a step of faith, and God's grown that and blessed that. But we were talking all the homes he gets into and the places he is. John, you're an ambassador. You're a representative. Don't put extra pressure on yourself. You're Jesus. You have Jesus' spirit within you. You're John Gunter. You're flesh. But you have the Holy Spirit within you. And a smile can be anointed. And John's more of a quiet guy. Be yourself. I said, John, we don't need to feel pressure to leave a track in every home. I don't personally like somebody leaving a track on my washing machine. And I despise those tracks that have a $5 bill on the back of them. If that ain't horrible for the homeless people. Some poor guy's gone all day wishing he had something to eat, and he picks up what he thinks is a $5 bill, and it's got a track on the back. You ever seen those? Don't be offended. I think there's people that give those out that are well-meaning, but I don't think that's the way to do it. A smile. A listening ear to somebody that has more problems than you can imagine, and they're all around us. A patience, a thank you, an honoring somebody and giving them worth everyone's worth understanding. Respectfully treating a child who's maybe never seen a man who was kind. I said, John, you have a wonderful opportunity. You're an ambassador. You're an ambassador for Christ. I believe you know this, but I believe we need brought back to it, and I believe that's scriptural. 2 Peter starts out by saying, I want to stir up your minds by way of remembrance. What's he saying? You already know this stuff, but let's stir it back up. Daddy used to use that example, and he'd say, you put a big pot of vegetable soup on the stove, and if you let it set for a couple hours, it's all broth on top. Somebody needs to get in there and stir that all around and get all that stuff moving in there again. And that's what church is about. We come and assemble together and sing. We get our juices going again. So the world's tough. Don't feel bad that, oh, Pastor, you don't know how weak I felt Saturday. That's why you came here on Sunday. Let it go. That's okay. That's okay. The world beats you up. It does. The world beats you up. And it can be lonely sometimes as an ambassador because you're a stranger and a pilgrim. It isn't home to you. But you're a representative of Jesus. It was a wonderful, marvelous day in my growth when I realized this at Kroger's. I worked there 17 years. And there was at times I hated the place and the pressures. The last 5-7 years, I had a lot of responsibility. Responsible for $30,000, $40,000 worth of business and the portion of what the store did. The store did $120,000 or so a week. And I was responsible over the flower shop, over the produce department, ordering perishable product. And if you goofed it up, you could lose all your profit in one order for the month. And just lots of pressures, 9 employees, a lot to do. I didn't realize God was training me for pastoring. But it was a great day in my life when I began saying, in the mornings, Lord, I work for Kroger's. As a Christian, I need to do a good job. I need to be thorough. I need to have good work ethic. But Lord, may I never forget for one second of the day that I have something higher than I'm doing here. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm working for you. It's easy to lose sight of that in the workplace. Easy to lose sight of that. Lord, when I do lose sight of it, bring me back to it. I want to be faithful to you as an ambassador. And I begin to grow as I begin to see that. And then the customer who was the irritation, I begin looking at with different eyes. And the customer who came in and was constantly complaining, and you seem like you never could please him or her, I begin seeing through different eyes as I begin to say, Lord, I'm an ambassador for you, and I need to be kind regardless how I'm treated, and I need to be gentle, and I need to be peaceable, and I need to be about the fruits of the Spirit. I begin seeing people through different eyes, and when someone would come up with a bad mood in my heart, I would think, I wonder what's happened to them today, maybe. My eyes changed, and I began seeing who people really were. And then as I would be kind and represent Christ at times well, not always, but at times well, but did you know when you don't always, you can correct that? Isn't it nice that God has made our vocal cords and stuff so that we can say, I'm sorry? Isn't that cool? Being a Christian isn't being perfect. Well, Pastor, it says be therefore perfect. You look it up in the Greek, it says be therefore complete. New creation, it's a process. We're not complete. Pastor Bishop said he was going to get a big sign for the front of the pulpit. He never did it. They say he's going to get a big sign for the front of the pulpit that said, be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. Good idea. We are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. Simple, simple message. Hear me out. This is needed tremendously. Ambassadors. Mercy, that's high. Ambassadors to our community. Notice I have in capital letters our neighborhood. It's kind of easy to say, Pastor, I think that's right. I'm an ambassador to my community, because that's kind of a big general area. But what about to our neighborhood? I want Glenn Hall, who lives to my east, and Bill Shepler, who lives to my west. I want you to be able to stop in there and say, you know Tom Robbins? Yeah. He's your neighbor down there? Yes. What kind of a man is he? I challenge you. I want us to be the real deal. You know why that's so important? Because outreach works if you're the real deal. You know what people want from us? Nobody's going to come in here, visit, and expect perfection from any of us, but they want us to be the real deal. And that's what's wrong in American church today. Outreach is great. You can make the O this big on the end of the building. You can shine lights on it, and that's great. But outreach won't work if we're not the real deal. If somebody comes up here and they observe your pastor and his wife and they come up to the conclusion we're phony baloney, it doesn't matter what I say. Do you agree with that? Yeah, we got to be the real deal. And I found in parenting, you don't have to be perfect, but your kids want you to be real. They want you to come to them when you realize you didn't handle things right. And when you, I said in a sermon the other day, I said, I did a lousy job raising Kevin. I did a horrible job. Part of that was situational. Kevin grew up in the time of Scott's addictions and Alan's accident, and we were overwhelmed, and I was pastoring a church that had grown to 450 people, and I had one part-time assistant. We had way too much to do. That's not anybody's fault. That's just the situation at the time. But I found that kids want you to be real, and if you'll say, you know what, I didn't do a very good job, but hey, I'd like to. And I've told Kevin that, and God's given us the opportunity to work together in ministry. And now some off and on in Haiti, as I'm able to make trips with you to visit from time to time and pastor here. They want us to be real, and that's what the world wants. And outreach is effective if there's a realness. In your neighborhood, can I ask you, are you an ambassador for Christ? Are you representing Christ? In our workplace, how critical. The workplace puts the pressure on us. I think today's world's especially hard. And if you're a man or woman this morning and own your own business, everybody needs to pray for you. There was a time, I think, in America back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s where the mom and pop shops, you know, everybody's in a good mood, and it was just kind of, people were loyal and they shopped with you, and there seemed to be a joy about that when I was growing up. But boy, I'm telling you what, anymore, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And you're hard-pressed to find anybody honest in the community, and everybody wants something for nothing. And if you have your own business, everybody assumes you're rich to start with. They don't know you're in debt up to your eyeballs. And that's how it works. And then the work ethic nowadays, the biggest challenge Christian men and women have that run businesses that I talk to, and I can see it, is the work ethic. People think they're doing you a favor if they show up. They're calling sick 3 days a week. Because, and I'm not saying that slam anybody, it's just that people have grown up undisciplined. They haven't, it's society has melted down. There hasn't been proper training in family, and there isn't good work ethic. And boy, I'm saying that to say it puts the pressure on. But I believe there's grace for every generation. Do you agree with that? Is there grace for every generation, or was it just promised to the early church? In Titus chapter 2, it says, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live holy, righteous lives in this present generation. I believe there's grace for today. And I believe we can be ambassadors for Christ. And I challenge you in your neighborhood and in your workplace, in your home, to be an ambassador for Christ. I want to be a representative of Christ to Pam. I want to live the kind of life that Pam can say, Tom, when there comes a need in her siblings, and there's been a lot of issues, and Pam grew up in a family of eight, and there's been a lot, many of them come to the Lord. I want to be the first one she calls for prayer. I want to earn that right. It's always bothered me, and I've never said anything about it, but it's always bothered me when you see a family that something comes up, and you don't see the husband and wife call each other for prayer. They call a pastor, call a pastor. I want Pam, first of all, and I do this. Something comes up, I'll text Pam and say, pray for so-and-so, because I have confidence in her. Is she perfect? No, and I'm certainly not. But we're real. And there are two Toms and two Pams. That's scary. There's a lot of that in the world today. You know, there's not two Toms and two Pams. There isn't private Tom and public Tom. I had somebody say to me one time, you need to get together with some other pastors and go away out of town. Have some fun. I said, I don't know what they meant. I said, what do you mean? They said, oh, it's good for pastors even to get away and let their hair down. Without even saying it, I said, you ain't supposed to have any hair. What I was really saying is, if I've got something I got to run around and go off somewhere with other pastors to do, and I found out going to some conferences, there's a lot of guys like that. I was disappointed. I was naive. First time I went to a big pastor's conference, I was naive. I thought, you go to this conference, man, it's going to be awesome. All these men of God getting together, I think it's going to be great. And I sat around to supper the first night and heard people's conversations and off-color jokes, and I'm thinking, wait a second. I thought, man, this ain't right. We wouldn't Would you say something like that to your congregation? Oh, well, we're just away from home, kind of letting our hair down. You ain't supposed to have any. You can say, boy, he's harping on things this morning. No, but I believe the American church needs called out to know the Lord and be an ambassador for Christ. Outreach will work. We might as well take it off the building if we're not going to be the real deal. If we're not going to live it in our daily lives. If we're not going to live it at Chrysler and the hospital and the airbase and the office and on and on and on and on it goes. If we're not going to live it, if I'm not going to live it over on 150 North, is that our road? Yeah. If we're going to live over on, if I'm not going to live it over there in front of Glenn and Bill Shepler, you guys need to vote me out. I don't think that's drawing it too close. In our home, in our marriage, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Oh my, that's a lifetime getting created into that. That's a tall order. People used to get riled, you know, when the women's lib movement first started. People get all riled. I'm sorry, but I get tickled sometimes. People get riled because it gives them away. It makes them transparent. But, well, I don't like what the epistle says about the roles, blah, 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 blah. I've been saying for years, the man has the taller order. It isn't the woman. Oh, yeah, there's things it says about the roles in the home, and absolutely, the scripture says it. Read Ephesians 5. But the man has the taller, harder order. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I demand respect. I found out the more giving you are, and you'll put your life on the line for your family, you won't have to ask your wife for respect. You'll have it. You can demand respect or you can earn respect. Now, I think there's a time in a Christian home to state if things are out of line. I don't think there's anything wrong, so I don't want you to misunderstand. I think there's times to draw lines with your kids and say, here's how it has to be. This is scripture right. But I think that can even be done in a Christ-like way. Here's how it has to be. Jesus wasn't afraid to draw the line. Yeah. Oh, he was real popular when he was feeding the thousands with the loaves and fish. His year of popularity, they call it, when he first started in the ministry. But when he started drawing the line, say, except a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. It says many followed no more with him. When you start drawing a line. Back on track, ambassadors for Christ, almost done. Neighborhood, workplace, the home. Don't be discouraged if you're struggling in these areas. It's a process. But you've got to set the bar where it needs to be. Or there's nothing to work toward. Don't be discouraged, but set the bar where it needs to be. I want the words in my mouth. I want the attitudes. I have times I repent to the Lord about my attitude. Oh, yeah. Lord, I didn't say the wrong thing. I've matured enough in the Lord with the years I've walked with the Lord. Got 40 years as of this month. I've matured enough that there's times I got enough self-control to control my words. But I said, Lord, I know my words weren't really off, but I don't like my attitude. I didn't have an attitude, right attitude. I know I didn't. I had you can have a smart-aleck attitude without saying anything. Ooh, better be careful here. I saw some wife shaking her head, and I saw some husband shaking her head. You can have a smart-aleck attitude without saying anything. I want my attitude. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. That's what you say when you go out in the garage. When you've closed the door behind you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. And I'm having a little fun with it. Please don't be offended by that. I'm not trying to be flippant or anything like that. But I do think sometimes we take ourselves too seriously. Jesus died for us and we're made out of dust and we're going to make some mistakes. Quit taking yourself so serious. But get it worked out. Get it worked out. Lord, I want to be conformed to the likeness of your Son. I say, Lord, I need help in this particular area. I know that I do. And Lord, I'm such a wimp. I'm letting you know my prayers. Lord, I'm such a wimp. I would ask you to be gentle with me because I can't take much. But Lord, if you have to slap me around. I probably shouldn't say that in a world where there's abuse. I wasn't raised that way. If you have to be more severe with me, I give you full permission to do that if I won't listen. Because he knows best. He is a loving Heavenly Father. And his goal is to develop you into Christ-likeness so that you're an ambassador. for Christ in our community. How we present ourselves. I think that's important, not nitpicking. No. Being a Christian, a bunch of do's and don'ts, you know, not worried. If we have to go into all that, something's wrong. We need to go to the heart of the issue, which will take care of that. But how we present ourselves. I want to be an ambassador for Christ. I have people say to me sometimes, Pastor, what's your view on modesty and this and that? I just say, you're an ambassador for Christ. You're representing Him. I'm not going to go any farther than that. You got the brains to figure that out. But we're representing Him. Who are we representing here? Are we trying to, you know, are we trying to draw attention to ourselves? Or are we trying to direct, you know, that's the issue. I haven't chosen to go into all those little things, but I want to challenge you to seek to be an ambassador for Christ. Well, I'm going to close, but I am going to say this. Prepare yourselves. I wrote this morning, and it's just how I felt. This is from me to you. It's in a scripture verse or anything. It sounds like the way it starts, but it isn't. It's just me to you. Prepare yourselves, my dear ones. It's going to become more costly to be an ambassador. Can you see it coming in America? Because Jesus is the truth. And I'm going to close with this. Jesus is the truth. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My dear friends, it's going to become more costly than it used to be an ambassador. If you're going to be about truth, it's going to become more costly. Because they're forcing us to draw a line. And we want to have the Spirit of Christ. There's no place for militant Christianity. But you can be kind and incredibly courageous, and draw bold lines. I've had times when people ask me, will you compromise in this area? And I smile at them and point at them and said, absolutely not. No compromise position on that. Absolutely not. We're entering a time period in America where it's going to become more costly to be an ambassador because Jesus is the truth. Let's stand for prayer. Jack just gave me this. I'll share it. It's neat. Goes right, boy, ambassador for Christ, huh? Yeah. When I get a new squad car, I call on the Indiana State Police chaplain to bless it and keep me safe. Since I have a long commute and I'm traveling more, I was anxious to get this done. On Wednesday at the Peru Post Memorial Service, I had our chaplain, Jack Hess, which we appreciate you, Jack, so much, do this for me. He has done this in the past, but this time it was different. He placed one hand on the car and one on my back. During the blessing, I felt a warmth come over me and I knew God was present. My last 2 days of commuting have been so great that I had to share this. While traffic on I-69 is nuts and chaotic, I have had no close calls and have gotten to my destination early. Normally, I leave early and I'm still racing against the clock. This is not coincidence. God is present and God is good. Thank you. Appreciate you sharing that. And that brings up something that just if I tag onto that, public servants that are Christians, pray for them. I made a commitment 4 years ago. Yes, I made a commitment 4 years ago to pray regularly for the protection of Ezariah Bricknell. I've ridden with him as a state policeman, and I saw him with a lot of integrity. Keep in touch with him. He works every Sunday morning, the last few weeks, months, actually. Met with him the other day. Public servants can be fantastic ambassadors for Christ. And I think that's important that we're faithful in that. And Jack, thank you. And I want to thank you for our congregation. I know you're not wanting this, but I want to thank you for what you do in the community. In the valleys of the shadow of death that God's brought you through to bring you to a place where men will put their confidence in your connection with him. So, Lord, thank you for this special time today. Use these words. May they go deep into our heart. I would ask, Lord, that you, and you alone can do this, I would ask that you would help us to find that place where we are challenged to be more of an ambassador, but we're not self-condemning. These kind of messages make us go home and think, oh boy, I had a fight last week with my spouse, and I sure wasn't an ambassador. Or last Wednesday at work, what I said to my boss, boy, I sure, and the devil wants to get us stuck there. Help us to forget those things that are behind, press toward the mark and what's ahead. And I would ask that this congregation will become a congregation that will make people thirsty. We're the salt of the earth. Salt creates a thirst. May we be a congregation that makes people thirsty and want to come. In Jesus' name we pray. I ask again, Lord, as a group, and would ask you to join with me in your own hearts with this, that as Holly leaves, again, we would ask that your hand would be on her, your protection would be over her, that your Holy Spirit would guide her and hover over her as she goes from our group for a brief time. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.